That's Everclear. It's a Monday, and it's the Mornings with Ed show. We welcome you to the program with a lot of stuff coming up ahead. And as we do every Monday, we like to spotlight a local artist doing some really great work here in town. And this morning, we are fortunate enough to have Mr. Duncan Asper with us. Duncan, if you walk through the Festival of Arts, you've seen Duncan's work. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's Booth 13. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, Duncan. How are you this morning?
I'm really good. And you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for coming in, first of all.
Pleasure.
Great. I walked by and I saw you initially as I'm walking through the Festival of Arts, and your work is really unique, first of all. It's singularly unique. You consider that your paintings are a distillation of your 45 years of being a creative force in the ad world, right?
Graphic design.
Yeah. So how did that start? How did the two meet? How did art meet your graphic design?
Well, I always started out, all my studies in school were in graphic design and art, painting and what have you. And then I evolved through a lot of different things. I used to do airbrush art as a kid and pinstriping, lettering and that sort of stuff. And then it evolved into doing ads and graphic designs, logos, brochures. And, you know, after a while, you just get tired of clients. So quite a few years ago, in the late 80s, I started doing paintings.
Okay.
And then moved from there and stepped away from a while and then back into it. And then about 15 years ago, I started developing the technique and style that I'm doing now.
Okay.
Which to me is my tagline is graphic design is art.
Right. And it is.
Yes.
It is. And when you walk by, no kidding, you're not just going to walk by the booth and look and just pass it by. No one doesn't stop at your booth.
True.
That's very, very cool. I was one of them. I was like, all right, this is cool. I like the way that you use space, empty space or negative space, as we say. There's a couple of pieces you have. One is Reaching Out and the other one is called Transcending Logic.
Oh, those, yes. Those are a little bit older pieces. What I have at the festival are the newer ones.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, you need to give it a feel to reside in.
Right.
You know, it needs to have room to breathe. And you know, if there's too much stuff going on, then there's no central focus. There's no, you know, primary design element.
Right.
So I build that. And colors play a large part of it, of course.
Right.
But simplicity's, you know, the less... Less is more.
Okay, I'm guessing that in working in the in your the ad era, I'll call it, in
right.
those days, and when you started out, you had to be really super structured, and your art, even though it's structured, shows a lot of imagination. Do you have to sometimes let go of the structure and roll with?
Well, it becomes inherent. You know, for so many years, I mean, close to 40 years, I did that, and you live under deadlines and time frames and scrutiny and all that kind of stuff. So you got to dot your I's and cross your T's on all of it. And when it comes to that, nothing is worse in an ad than a typo.
Right.
So,
or a comma placed in the wrong place.
Exactly. So it just, those are things that have just become part of who I am. And so right. Detail to me is as important as the bigger picture.
Right. And do you fight yourself sometimes? Is there a piece that you've started and you go, oh, this is just, I'm not liking what's happening here?
Occasionally I'll finish off a piece because once I start it, I'm committed to it and I will finish it.
Okay.
But occasionally that happens where I look at it and go, that did not come out right. It's not what I wanted. Most of the time, though, each phase of my paintings, I step back. Maybe I'll take a day or two and think about it. Where am I going to go next?
Right.
Unlike traditional painting where it's like you're going from a scene or a photograph or something, you know what the painting's going to look like before you're done.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
So it develops its own personality as it evolves.
Right.
I'm working on one now, and it's going to be the first one I've ever done. It's going to be purple.
Okay. Very cool. The entire thing purple or just...
No, actually, my brother does the woodwork for my frames, and he's right. found this wood called Purple Heart, and so he's made the frames for it. So right. I'm going to, you know, the painting is going to reflect that color.
Right.
Now, so it should be interesting.
It's funny you mentioned frames, and I want our listeners, and we'll give them the website to go to so that they can check it out. But all your works have partially, and in some cases, fully framed corners.
Correct.
And I find that, number one, I just find it beautiful. It's as part of the artwork because it's so wonderful on the, but you can definitely tell, yeah, this is pre-framed artistically. Where'd you come up with that and how do you get?
Well, my brother lives up in Idaho and he's a wood artist.
Okay.
And he does, you know, this incredible stuff with inlays and bevels and, you know, and working with exotic woods and what have you. And about 7 or 8 years ago, we started collaborating on, you know, well, it, can you do some frames for me? And, right. you know, work them into the painting. So generally I would just say, well, you know, I need some framework for a 30 by 40 canvas or a 36 by 36. And he kind of just runs with it.
Right.
And then I'll get it and I'll go, well, that's going to work really good on this painting that I've already finished, or this one I'm working on, like I did one a while ago where he stained the wood out green. So I did the whole overall nature of the painting in greens and right. olives and what have you. And now this one, he sent me some photos. It's just, it's being shipped now, but it's his Purple Heart. And I'm going, yeah, I think I'll do a purple painting. Purple Never button. Done one before, but hey.
You're an adventurer here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, the framing of it is one of the reasons I said singularly unique. I just absolutely love seeing that.
It is. There are times when people will come up and they'll go, wow, I like your paintings. And then they go, and the framework. What do you like more, the painting or the frame? But I offset it because it incorporates part of the background into the painting as well. So it's like, right. you know, I think of it as the painting is jewelry and the framework is furniture.
Perfect.
They work together.
Yeah, perfect,
and
perfect.
They're integrated to one another. And it, you know, it does make a unique...
It does. It does.
Piece.
It looks fantastic as it hangs there at the Festival of Arts. I can only imagine how cool it looks hanging on a wall. Really.
Oh, yeah.
So you're multi-talented because you're also a guitarist who studied music theory.
Yes, I did.
Now, did you do that early on or later in life?
Well, I started playing guitar when I was 16. Then, of course, I got consumed with my career and, you know, work. And so I set it aside and I'd pluck around with it a little bit here and there. But it was about 15 years ago I decided to get serious and started picking it up again. And then a few years back, I went to Saddleback and studied guitar and songwriting and theory and those sort of things because I wanted to sort of get a leg up on how that stuff works.
Right.
So now I in fact, I've got enough material. I want to do a rough cut, a demo album.
All right.
And had I not been in the festival this year, that's what I was going to do this year, was make an album.
Okay.
Because I do all the instrumental work in it, the vocals, the lyrics, write the piece, record it, and everything myself, which is really a lot of fun. Challenging.
Right.
But it takes about a month or so, month and a half, to get one song recorded.
Right. But, now the two different arts, how do you combine the two, or what? How does one help the other? For instance, and I'm curious here, is as you're plucking away on a guitar, just lost in the music, do you visualize something you'd like to put on canvas?
No, actually, that's when I give my brain a break from the art.
Okay,
because it is work.
Okay,
it still is. It's who I am and what I do.
Right.
So the music puts me in that space of where I'm not really thinking about it at all. Right. And you know, you have to give yourself some relief from it. You know, otherwise it's like you go crazy because it's like a knot. The tighter you pull it, the more difficult it's going to be to undo.
Right.
So I just the music is that release valve. Plus, I just love it.
What kind of songs do you write?
Mellow stuff, you know, things that you could say were like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You know, I've got a couple recorded. Maybe later, if you want to hear one of them, I'd love to play it for you.
Yeah. I'd love to, man.
Yeah, it's called, this one I wrote, which is really an excellent piece. It's called The Arrow of Time. It's about 5.5 minutes long. But I did the whole nine yards, and it's pretty.
You know,
it's a rough cup. It needs to be polished more, but I did it on my computer at home. The only thing I didn't do on it was the drum loop.
Right. So here's what we have to do for you next year when you're showing your artwork at the Festival of Arts. You've also got to play on stage at the festival.
That would be something else.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right, so we'll work on it, man. I'll have have your people contact my people. We'll get to work on it right away. In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Duncan Asper. Duncan is a local artist. He's at the Festival of Arts this year. Amazing work. His paintings are singularly unique. And I mentioned the spacing, the negative spacing. Was I crazy there, or do I know what I'm looking at?
No, that's right on.
Okay.
That's right on.
All right. So how do our listeners find you if not at the festival itself?
Well, I'll just go to DuncanAsper.com.
Okay. Asper is A-S-P-E-R.
That's it.
All right, Duncan.
And you can Google me. I got 4 or 5 pages on Google. So either the last name or both names or what have you, but it's easy to find there.
All right.
I've got some of my music on there. I've got a style of art that I used to do years and years ago as well on there, which are our G Clays, and then all my new stuff.
All right.
So, you know. And also, I've set it up so that if you scroll down a little bit, I've placed the art in room settings because people sometimes go,
oh, that's cool.
I don't know how this would work in a room, you know?
Right.
So, well, here you go.
Oh, that's so smart. That's smart, man. That's very 2019 of you.
Well, I try to think ahead a little bit.
And, you know, we may have you back for a conversation about music and have you play in the live room, man.
I would love that.
All right. We'll get to work on some music and I'd love to hear the demo.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got it on my iPhone. All
right. Look for him at the Festival of Arts. He's booth 13 there, and definitely there on the weekends for sure. And listen for him here eventually. Duncan Asper, thanks for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
All right.